views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Welcome to the show that everyone is talking about. At least I keep telling myself that in the hopes that it'll actually happen. It's Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc. Yep, I check. I'm here. That's me. And I want to extend a welcome. Welcome. Did I say welcome? The answer is yes. I hope you feel welcome, because that's what it's all about, huh? Banding together, getting cohesive. Yeah, let's get cohesive. Let's create a group that we can all relate to. Club ADHD, yeah, for adults with ADHD. Yeah, that's what it's all about. That's the ticket. And not only do we have the podcast, we have the Facebook group and our page, I should say. Yeah, it's a group. And we have the Twitter account. And for links for those things, visit clubadhd.ca, a presentation of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, otherwise known as CADAC. I'm saluting right now. They do some fantastic work. Round of applause for CADAC. You know something? There are some people who actually look forward to my rounds of applause. So I'm keeping them. I'm going to keep them coming. Yes, sir. It's just a way for me to say thank you to various people, groups, whomever, whatever. And that website, terrific. Lots of fantastic information on there. And here's something that you might want to take advantage of pretty fast. Go on the website and check it out. In October, there's the annual CADAC conference. It's being held in Toronto this year. And you might say, I'd like to go to a conference full of information, guest speakers, not that expensive, and I get to mingle with other fellow ADHDers. Yeah, I'd like to go to that, but I don't live near Toronto. Well, make it a journey, an expedition? It sounds like something in the jungle, maybe. Make it an adventure, yeah. A fellow I know well, and he was a guest on our podcast about 3 weeks ago, Wayne. And Wayne headed from Toronto to Halifax in a car full of other people with ADHD. And on the surface, he might say, hey, how's that going to work? Ooh, they're going to drive each other crazy. No, they had a fantastic time. Terrific time. I mean, better than I can ever had hoped that I thought. That not only did they travel from Toronto to Halifax, you know, we're talking a few clicks or miles here, folks. They stopped at some of the touristy sites. They went via Canada to the Canadian Way to Halifax. And then on the way back, they went through New England, south of the border, not Mexico, but New England. And they had a great time. And they had a great time at the conference. It was fantastic seeing them there. And the trip was terrific. So if you don't live in the Toronto area, hey, follow Wayne's advice. Follow his lead and maybe even rent a bus and get people to come over or fly in. Some people do fly into the conference. And if you're listening stateside, give it a try. Go to CADAC. I'm getting my websites mixed up here. CADDAC.ca for more information and ways on how you can register. And I'll be there too. And I'd love to say hello to you and you and even you. That's right. You there alone, wallowing, not having a good day. Hey, I can relate. I do hope that you get a smile on your face after you're done listening to this podcast, because we have a good guest, as I always say, but we've lucked out. And we've got some smiles coming your way by way of Club ADHD, the podcast, on this edition. It's going to be a good one. On the local front, well, you know, I'm still kind of struggling, doing the best I can with the loss of my mother who lived with us. She was 96, long life. And could she be a challenge near the end? Yes, but we felt it was worth it. We're not looking for any medals. I say we, my wife especially. My parents helped us out when we were first married, and they offered their assistance, and it's the least that we could do. We wanted to do it, My father passed away a couple of years after he moved in with us, and then my mother was with us for about, I don't know, 13, 14 years till she recently passed. And it makes it difficult because, you know, we live in the home where she lived, although she had what they called an in-law apartment or a granny suite, whatever you want to call it. But you can't help but walk by certain places and think, you know, you can't step away from it. You know, it's different that if your parents live here and you live way over there, you can go way over there. And maybe you don't think about the loss of your parents as much as if they lived with you. And it's a challenge for me, too, because my brother passed away. I only have one sibling, and I'm it when it comes to my immediate family by way of my parents, you know. And that can be an eye-opener as well. It really can. And has my ADHD impacted the way I handle this? I don't know, because I've always had ADHD. I've had other losses in my life, so I can't say it would be any different without the ADHD, but I have no doubt that people without ADHD, they struggle too. Death is part of life, yes, but it's not easy. Has my ADHD helped me? Well, maybe in some instances where I might get hyper-focused on certain things, so I'm able to escape for a bit, you know? But you got to be careful. You don't want to escape for a lot. Like, for instance, my escape is YouTube. YouTube can be our friend. Our ADHDers, it can be our friend. It can tell us how to do things, but it can be our vice, because we might decide, I've got something to do, but I'm more interested. Right? I wonder what would happen if a lion and an elephant had an argument. Let me type that into YouTube and find out. There's so much information on there. It could sidetrack you. So that's the dangerous part of it. There's got to be a sweet spot in there. I say don't abandon it completely. No, it's good. Just attempt at regulating it. Because if you don't do the things you should be doing, you're going to feel even more miserable, right? We have enough distractions in our life. And I say this honestly because the past few weeks, I'm sure the death of my mother is attributed to this or has caused this, having trouble sleeping. And so what happens? I might go on YouTube. And my brain gets into hardwired, let's go, go, go. And when it comes time to that, my body is saying, hey, you got to get some sleep. My brain is still active and it won't shut off. Have you ever had that problem? You don't need the loss of a loved one to experience that. But it makes sense that if we somehow can calm our brain down before we go to bed so that somehow we can get it in line with our body, that our brain is tired and our body is tired. But if you are sidetracked to the point that you're not doing the things that you set out to do, it could cause worry. Worry can get the brain going. Or maybe it's something that you wanted to do, but you didn't do, and it might take some thought behind it. And if you didn't do it that day, you might be spending the night, you know, lying in bed saying, oh, I can do it this way or that way, and trying to work it out. That'll keep you awake as well. So if you're like me, take those things, take those distractions, and take them in moderation. And attempt not to maybe zone out on a YouTube video or videos or go online or whatever just before you go to bed, because you know, your brain is working. And as you know, sometimes it's tough to shut off our ADHD brain. That's my soapbox edition for today. We have an excellent guest coming up. I know I say this every week. Oh, but we've lucked out. And it's kind of unique on how I came across this person I'm about to interview. Actually, I did the interview a couple of days ago, so I know it's a good one. And I know it should provide a few smiles. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce the interview portion of the program. It's Club ADHD, the podcast. So glad you're with us. Welcome to the interview portion of the podcast, and before I do the official introduction, I'm going to give you the story behind the story on how our paths crossed, our meaning mine and our guest. Here's what happened. As you know, we've got not only the podcast, we have the Twitter account and the Facebook page, and we've been having some interesting conversations on the Twitter account and on the Facebook group page, and I was looking at the Twitter account, checking out some of the comments from our fellow ADHDers of Club ADHD, and I came across this one person, and she had some interesting insights on things, and something just told me, a gut feeling, I think this person would be an interesting guest. And to be a guest on Club ADHD, you don't have to have a diploma, you don't have to be an expert. Usually the prerequisite for 95% of the time is you have to have ADHD. It has to impact you. So that, you know, again, we're really pushing the fact that we're one and we're a group. And it's good to get people from our group to speak to. Some are doing amazing things. Some might be struggling. It's all interesting because we can learn from each other and maybe help each other in the same way. And if there's something you can't relate to when it comes to our guest, maybe there's something you can learn so that if you come across someone with ADHD, a fellow ADHDer, but they are struggling with the same thing that our guest is struggling with, you can use those tips that we talk about maybe. Yeah, it's a learning situation. It makes you feel good too. Now, I digress. Getting back to our interview for this go-round. When I contacted this person, she said, yeah, I am up. And she's a listener of Club ADHD, and she was just tickled pink. How often do you hear that these days? Tickled pink. She was very excited. And I got excited because she was getting excited. And I found out that she's from Newfoundland. I got even more excited because we have yet to speak to anyone from Newfoundland. I know that province. Okay, technically, it's Newfoundland, Labrador. But you know what I mean. And I thought this would be very interesting. Plus, I found out that she is also a teacher. Now, here's some other background, additional background. She has recently, if I can say it, these darn false teeth. Wait a minute. I don't have false teeth. Oh, okay. She is a teacher. Yes. And she was recently diagnosed. Yes. Less than a year ago. So that's even better. I find it always interesting to talk to people who have been recently diagnosed with ADHD to see how they're reacting to it. And usually there's a set pattern, but sometimes people break the pattern. This individual, she did a lot, despite the fact that she had ADHD and didn't know about it. She knew there was something off. She has had her challenges. And she's also had to deal with additional baggage that has resulted in even more challenges, extreme challenges. So who is this person I'm about to talk to? Well, her name is Sarah. And as I had mentioned, she hails from Newfoundland. And yep, she's not opposed to having a little bit of fun, as many Newfoundlanders are. And I'm not pigeonholing. It's just the way they are, warm and friendly and you know, full of life. But Sarah, at times, she wasn't full of life. She hit some challenges. It's an interesting story. Let's get right to the interview with Sarah from Newfoundland, Club ADHD, the podcast. First, Sarah, I have to give you a round of applause. We've never interviewed anyone from Newfoundland, and you are the first.
Woo! I'm really excited.
Really? I couldn't tell.
Yeah, right? It's a monotone. It's really hard to gauge.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. We ADHDers, we just like to lay back and just chill, right? Just
like, yeah, we're like the sloths, aren't we?
Yeah, that's right. Just kind of sliding along slow and steady. Boy, is that the truth or what? No, it's not the truth. So you have just been diagnosed. I say just because anything less than a year to me is just. You've been diagnosed fairly recently.
Yes. Yeah, it was beginning of November.
Wow. And the surprising, well, you know, I shouldn't say surprising. You sound bright and intelligent, but, you know, a lot of struggle to get through things, but you made it through scholastically, university. What, you have one, two, how many degrees do you have?
Two, and I like to say two and a half.
Two and a half.
Yeah, I've got a Bachelor of Arts in French, a Bachelor of Education in Primary Elementary, and I've been in the midst of finishing my Master's in Education for the past number of years, because, the struggle
Yeah,
with
it happens.
procrastination and all that. So,
Yeah.
but I'm proud to say I was in touch with the university and everything today. We've got everything figured out, and I'm on track to convocate this year.
Oh, Sarah, I've got that feeling again. Another round of
Woo!
applause.
Thank you. Thank you. You can't see it, but
Congrats.
I'm graciously bowing for this.
Now, how did you do this without even knowing that you had ADHD? I know when we were off mic, you were telling me that you had some other things going on, as we
Yeah.
all do. But to be able to get through not one, but two, rounds, 2.5 rounds of university without even knowing about your ADHD, looking back, can you figure out how you did it?
Oh my. I think it just comes down to, I think a lot of us with ADHD, or from what I've been reading anyway, a lot of us tend to be quite stubborn. We like to be problem solvers and we don't like things holding us back. Like, I like to think of it as kind of like being a honey badger. Like there's nothing stopping you. If you're kept
Right.
in a pen, a honey badger is finding a way out. They're smart little buggers. One way or another, it's happening. So I'd like to see it as kind of that. I'm a learner at heart. Like I've been a big nerd from the start. I quit preschool when I was like 3 because my literal reason was because they didn't have books and all they wanted to do was play all day. So that wasn't real
Ah,
school. And I like
I can see
demanded
you
my
now.
classes
The
on
little 3-year-old
time.
Sarah saying, "You bore me.
Hey,
Go
right?
away."
What is this? You just want to slide and skip? I was
Yeah, I'm
too
reading War and Peace, and you're
hard.
just peeing in your
Yeah,
pants.
my second round of Anna Karenina here. Like, what are you guys doing?
So you are hyper-focused on learning.
Yeah, like I've always had an interest, but I think and it's not hard to get me, enthusiastic about anything. I've got that quality too, where you bring something up and I'm just like, yeah, that sounds great, let's do it. Woo! And that impulsive streak. And I like to learn. So anything would spark my curiosity and the different classes you could take. When you're in university, they want to give you a well-rounded education. So I mean you take courses in just about any subject. And based on my marks, you could tell which courses I really liked and which ones I didn't. And as Rick Green had said in one of your podcasts before, like, or maybe it was on his website, I can't remember now, but about having the gift of gab when you have
Yep.
ADHD and you can just, tend to, speak. And a lot of us tend to, be kind of creative. So I've always had a love of writing. So writing an essay on something was no problem. Or, getting into a discussion in a class on a topic was, not a big deal.
Sure.
Sometimes my anxiety wasn't acting up that day. But, like, for the most part, I didn't have any trouble with that. But, the courses I didn't like, those were the ones that really held me back. So, like
Stinks,
I said, if
Sarah.
you looked at my transcript right now, you can tell which courses I was really into because the marks reflect that. And the ones that I just couldn't make myself study for them. So, those marks are reflected there too. And it's not something I'm proud of. I'd never go around bragging about my GPA by any means, but
Hey, but you
yeah.
did it. You did
Yeah, I
it.
did. I got there. I'm really happy nobody asks about your GPA after a certain point.
Well, you just get that diploma, a couple of diplomas. Hey, look what I got. And I
Yeah,
what's
right.
that half diploma? Oh, that's gonna get the other half I'm working on,
Yeah. Talk to me again in like June, just to be safe.
yeah. Now, with all that said, there have been things in your life that you've struggled with, right? You've had the added baggage that we ADHDers tend to bring along with us.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
Oh yeah. So yeah, it started young, I guess. Well, a lot of the ADHD things came up, but I mean, I think there are a lot of things. A lot of people say, oh, I think I have ADHD too because I have this, that, and the other thing, and I do that too. And I think a lot of the things just you seem like a normal kid. But then when I hit about 5th grade, I would get sad for no reason. And the joy of puberty for everyone, my emotions would just be haywire. Like I could go from, and I have a brother who's older than a year older than I am. So, the dynamics and the joy of having a sibling. So we were going through growing up and he'd pick at me and I could go from like laughing to yelling to crying and then, perfectly chill again in a matter of like 5 minutes.
Wow.
So yeah, my emotions were extremely volatile. So, and also, the self-image thing comes into play. And, you know, I had issues with being sad for no reason. So, you know, your self-esteem is growing and changing all the time at that age. So, you know, it almost seemed kind of normal. Like when I'd gone to doctors, I had an eating disorder from the age of 12. So then when I started seeing, when I saw my doctor and then afterwards, the psychologist and the psychiatrist, they're all like, yeah, this is typical for a girl of her age. And, you know, my love of school, I was a high achiever in school. So I was like, you know, she's doing well. It's just a phase. Keep an eye on her, you know, support her. She'll grow out of it, or, you know, it'll be fine. And, you know, it was just, it was seen as something that, you know, some girls go through. And, you know, it didn't seem like anything extra to be worried about. And, yeah, I always kind of knew I was sad, but I didn't think it was depression. Does that make sense?
You know, sometimes the words get in the way, you know, of depression. Right? You know, I find that, you know, even with ADHD, I know people, if you've listened, you know, and I know you have, but there are people, even the ones I've interviewed, will even won't admit that they have ADHD. One in particular. Yeah, ADHD. Yeah, well, I have all the symptoms, but I've never gone to get diagnosed. And for fear of whatever. So I would think depression, you know, depression, a mental problem. Yes. But you have all the symptoms. So what? I mean, not so what that, you know, so what, you have ADHD or depression. Yeah, it's like, okay, you have it. Let's deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think growing up through the process, you know, it's once I got to university, it was obvious, you know, this sad thing isn't going away. So, you know, we're lucky we're in the age of the internet. So reading women's magazines, you know, Cosmo, or I think I started with like YM back in the day, if there's anyone in my age group who would know about those magazines, but like 17 and Cosmo and, you know, whatever. And they'd have, you know, if you're feeling blue, try this. So I was always a reader of those things. And so I would try the suggestions they would give you, you know, so you're always looking, always searching for ways to solve that problem. So, you know, that's the way our brains work. You've got a problem. Yeah. There's got to be a way to fix it. So, you know, I would try one thing. If that didn't work, then I'd try another thing. And, you know, you'd find something that would work for a while and then it didn't work anymore. So you try something else. So, you know, different hobbies. I remember being like super into Tai Bo back in the day.
Tai Bo. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Right? Yeah, I know.
Exercise has always been a thing for me. So like I would do Tai Bo and then I would go to like hiking and then I'd be back into running and then I'd cycle for a while and then maybe be swimming and then into yoga and weightlifting. And, you know, so even the type of activity I would do, I'd be all over the place.
Yeah.
But, you know, always trying different things. And I totally forgot the stream of what we're
talking. Well, you were talking about, you know, about being depressed and handling it and you're doing all these things. But you told me earlier that there was a time when there was a major crisis, nothing in particular, but you felt that, well, hopeless.
Yeah, definitely. And some people talk about their struggles with getting diagnosed with ADHD and getting help for it. And I know that's something we talked about earlier about off Mike, about being in Newfoundland and, you know, resources around here. And I am fairly new to it. So, you know, I can't speak for everyone's experience, but I did hit a super low. I'd been previously diagnosed with the depression, finally got to the point, you know, after university when I was in my career, you know, and just couldn't get past the sad fits. And it just, you know, was impairing my life. So I got help for it and I got medication and, you know, things started to get better. But then, you know, you hit a plateau and you're like, okay, I'm still having these problems. I'm lucky. I was living in central of the island. So mm-hmm. I was close enough to St. John's. Right. I still had the same doctor that I had in university. So I kept seeing her. I would make the drive in to see her. And she was great. You know, she listened to me and she was wonderful. You know, she gave me other resources and things that I could try. She recommended that I get therapy. So, you know, I was on the right track with that. But then I moved to the west coast of the island where I'm from, where I live now. And so I didn't have access to my doctor anymore. Like, it's an 8-hour drive.
Yeah, it's a long, and it's, yeah, you're especially in the wintertime in that area, you know, north and, no, it's not pretty. So are you on medication at all or?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So how does that go as far as, did you notice a difference?
Oh my gosh. I like night and day. And there are even things that I didn't even realize were a problem for me that have been regulated. So, you know, even from the first antidepressant that I started taking, when I first saw my doctor about the, you know, the sad fits, and, you know, we tried the cognitive behavioral therapy. And then when that wasn't working to a point, then we explored the medication. And I was more comfortable doing it that way to know, you know, I tried everything. And so this is the next step. So, yeah, so I still do, you know, the cognitive behavioral therapy practices, but I started taking Cipralex at the time. And so I still take that one today. But then, you know, some of the sad things weren't being fixed. So then I was then diagnosed with dysthymia. And I also have general anxiety disorder and some, you know, social anxiety things fit in there. And so I take another, I take Wellbutrin, I think. I take that for those to help manage both of those. And then, so when I was diagnosed initially with the ADHD, I just had a month to just sit with it. And I was on the two, so just the two antidepressants. And so, yeah, about the crisis, I hit a low. And there was no real reason for it. And I couldn't get out of it. It basically, you know, it was a breakdown. It's the only way I could say it. I was out. I was, and by out, I mean out. Like I was ending life. I just couldn't, I couldn't solve the puzzle. I couldn't figure out. It was like I had this machine and I had a user's manual, but it just, it wasn't working. And for some reason, I just couldn't figure out why. And, you know, there's something missing and I just didn't get it and I just couldn't anymore. And I just felt like such a drag. And so, you know, something happened at work. It was the final straw and I just left in a total rampage. And it just so happened that I spoke to my mom. I was coming home and ran into mom and she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm killing myself. Like I'm out. I can't do this anymore." I was in full meltdown mode, like just in a huge meltdown. And she, you know, full panic, like, "What? Like, what are you talking about?" So that's when she said, you know, "Please just go to the emergency room and, you know, just try that." And at that point I was like, well, you know, what is it going to hurt? You know, I tried. If it works, then awesome. Like, yes, we finally got that piece that we were missing. And if it doesn't, well, you know, what's another extra hour to this anyway, you know?
But as
I can hold on.
As I said to you, as I said to you before, I mean, the fact that you reached out to your mother or to whomever is really telling me that you didn't want to kill yourself. You're just looking for some help. You're at that low point. The same thing with people cutting. You know, they say this, that, you know, they're really reaching out, trying as best they can. Hey, look, I'm in trouble. Help me, please. And it sounds like that's where you were. And I can relate. I really can. Because bottom line, do we really want to kill ourselves? Well, probably not. But we want this to stop.
Yes. And once you know, everyone has their different coping mechanisms. And after you've tried, you know, you're working and you're trying so hard. And I think that's something that really shows in, you know, all of us who have ADHD is that we are trying. Like, when people say, you know, suicide is not an answer and you're being weak and all this, like, that would even upset me. You know, I didn't want to kill myself, but I was just so tired, you know, like just, I just couldn't, I was just getting to the point where I was like, I don't know what to do anymore. You know, I was desperate. I had no idea. I'd done everything I could think of to do. I'd reached out, you know, to people. I'd done counseling. I was getting to my wit's end, but yeah, luckily ran into mom, and mom, you know, was like, "Just go." And I was like, "All right, doing it."
Yeah.
So I went in, and like I had mentioned to you, I was just in a mood. Like, you know, I wasn't kind and friendly. I was just kind of
you're bitter.
A jerk. But yeah, I was a bit cynical when the doctor met me in emergency. And she made a phone call to a psychiatrist in Corner Brook, which is like the hub of the West Coast.
Yep.
And she was like, "I want to see this girl, send her in." So I did. I went out and I saw that psychiatrist, and I brought my mother with me because I'm, you know, like a lot of people are, I guess my self-perception is off. And even when I'm trying to answer questions, I'll leave out a bunch of information. Like, it's in my head, I know it, but I'm probably not going to tell you right now because I'm, you know, going to get off track and whatever. You know, I don't have my checklist to make sure I hit all the bullet points. So I'm probably going to ramble and forget about half of what I'm going to say. So it's always nice to have that backup person, isn't it? So, and also, you know, since I was in that suicidal mood, they didn't exactly want me to go by myself and, you know, moose on the highway and whatnot.
But if you were truly wanting to do yourself in, you wouldn't go through all this hassle that you're going through. I mean, you wouldn't, you know, hop in the car, let's go. You'd just say, I'm okay. All right. I just got to go do something. Or, you know, usually that's the way it happens, I guess.
Yeah. But
there are instances where it won't. But to me, it's like, yeah, you want to keep going. You just want it to stop.
Exactly. Exactly. And I was open. Like if someone says, here, this might help, I was like, give it to me. Sure. I will try it. Like if you think this is going to work, I will give it 110% everything I've got to see if it will. Like I was at that point. I was just anything that would help me. So yeah, I met this doctor and I sat with her. We were together for like 5-10 minutes. And so she was asking me like, you know, what's going on? You know, how have you been dealing with your depression? How have you been dealing with the anxiety? And then she asked, how have you been treating your ADHD?
What? What is this you say?
Exactly. And I just looked at her. I was like, I don't have ADHD. And she was like, excuse me? I was like, I don't have ADHD. And I'm a teacher. And, you know, we get in Newfoundland, I know province to province, it's very different. The education system and, you know, the curriculum, how we teach, what we teach, it varies widely. And so here in Newfoundland, ADHD has been an exceptionality for like the past, oh, I want to say 20 years. I should look it up, but for a long time. So, you know, they're offered accommodations in the classroom. We diversify and differentiate to meet the needs of all learners. So we do in teacher training and even at school, we do, you know, teacher workshops and stuff to learn more about different exceptionalities and things that our students have and different ways to meet their needs. So I've worked with students who have ADHD and I'd seen the way they operate and I always really enjoyed them because they're a lot of fun, you know, like they presented unique challenges, their perception was off and just they always ended up being hilarious. Like I can tell you some great stories about some without giving you names later. Definitely worth it here. But yeah, I couldn't relate. Like what I'd seen from them, I guess it's
not me. But the thing is, the funny thing is that here you mentioned that we have accommodations for students with ADHD. But here's the other question. What about teachers with ADHD? Any accommodations there? Do we deal with that at all? Have you talked about it at all? I would say I'm just not a gambling. Yes, I am a gambling man, but I would bet that the answer is no. I mean, how many teachers, you know, get together and talk about their ADHD?
Oh, right. None. I mean, I don't know.
You might know some, but you don't know they have it. Maybe they don't even know they have it.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's one of those things where, you know, the stigma is starting to lift. At least I feel, maybe I know a lot of times I wear rose-colored glasses.
No, you're in your early stage, though. I mean, that's usually, and I'm not saying that down the road you're going to be miserable. But but no, you remind me a bit of me when I first found out that, it's a joyous thing. I mean, you found not the solution, but you found the cause. Now, getting to the solution is always a challenge. But at least now you know.
Actually, I don't know. I think when I got diagnosed, I went through like a grieving process.
Really? Almost. Usually that happens a little later.
Yeah.
Maybe like there are oddities. Not oddities. There are different people. I didn't mean that. I'm gonna whack myself for that. Oh, that hurt.
No, it wouldn't be the first time. Don't worry about that.
But maybe you're doing it a little bit differently. You mourned first and now you're feeling better about it. But that's very common to think back, well, you know, what if I had known in an earlier age? And you're always looking in the rear view mirror. Yeah. What if? Well, what ifs are what ifs.
But also, too, like a lot of the things that I'd seen in one of your last episodes, one of the ladies you'd interviewed, she had mentioned about character flaws, about these things being wrong with you. And these are things about myself I always wanted to fix. And, you know, I don't know if I'd call myself a perfectionist by any means, but I do know I have high standards for myself and I expect a lot from myself. So to find out that some of these things that I wanted to fix wanted to fix could never be fixed was really hard to grasp. So like the fact that I'm not punctual like ever.
But I've got to say this. There are, you know, it's not easy. And here I am practicing, you know, get me to arrive on time. But really, I mean, we can't go through that wall of ADHD, but we can go around it and we can create ways that maybe we can get on time. That it's exactly. Not impossible. It's just more of a challenge.
Exactly. And that's, I'm happy you said that because it is a challenge and it's something that every day we have to work on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So at that point it was, I guess I was just.
Well, it's not fair.
Like the child in me was throwing a little temper tantrum.
Yeah. Why me? It's not fair.
Yeah. But, I was like, I don't have to do all, I have to relearn everything now. Like now I have to learn how to do all this again. And I have to learn different ways to deal with this. And
well,
I have to, you know, accept these things about myself because they're not going to change.
Well, we're not all perfect. And then what is perfection? And why do you want to be perfect? Maybe is getting analytical, you know, why is it?
Yeah. And I think that's where some of the comorbidities and things tie into, like the depression, the beating up on myself and things like that, or like thinking ahead and getting the anxiety about things that, you know, are you want to accomplish. Like a PhD is something that's always in my purview. It's an ambition of mine. I want to get that PhD. And so, you know, at first to find out the ADHD, it's, you know, to find out you have that, what it means, you know, it makes the PhD not an impossibility.
Well, but
it just means it's going to be hard, you know?
It's going to be harder, yes. But you have to ask yourself, too, okay, why do I want that doctor in front of my name? Is it to impress others, or is it something that I want deep down inside, and why do I want it? Do I want to be a professor? Do I want to, you know, will it enable me to do this, or is it a scorecard?
Yeah. Oh, no, for me, it's like totally for the practice, I guess, for lack of a better word. Like, I love being a teacher. I think it's the most fun thing to do in the world. It's for my ADHD, it's a dream. I feel like, you know, look, I basically feel like Ellen or Oprah every single day. Like, I get applauded for showing up. I walk through the hallway and people are like, "Damn, what's up?" You're like, "Hey, buddy." You're getting like high fives as you walk down.
Really?
The hallway.
I'm not used to that.
Yeah. And the cool thing, well, I'm not punctual, as we've said. So, you know, sometimes I slip into class as the bell rings. And so one of my classes one year would make it like a gamble if I was going to show up or if there's going to be a substitute. So especially in the winter, because, you know, everybody gets sick and teachers will get sick and you get a substitute. So if I was a little late, they'd all be like on the edge of their seats to see if I showed up or not. And if it was me, they'd all be like, "Yay!" So that was a great thing to walk into every morning, you know, just getting a cheer for showing up.
But Sarah, you know, I know a person who knows Ellen. Worked for her.
Seriously?
Yeah, I do. And Ellen is, you look on the TV and boy, she's dancing. What? Oh, she's a lovely person. She ain't all that lovely behind the scenes.
Oh, right. I've heard stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's always things that you see in people that, wow, or you go on Facebook, oh, I wish I had that life. If you only knew the story behind the story, you know?
Oh, no, I don't want the life. I just meant like,
no, but
like
you're
they walk out and they get the applause. And
I can't handle, I can't even relate to that. I mean, sometimes it happens, but usually, oh, what's he doing here? Because, you know, a class clown can get a little overboard, but that's terrific that you
know. Oh, yeah.
You know what? I've got another feeling. Round of applause for that one.
That's three already.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, being a teacher is definitely, it definitely works for my ADHD. And that was one of the one things my psychiatrist pointed out to me was that, like, when we talked about my work and if I felt fulfilled and things, she had said that people with ADHD tend to thrive in situations where, you know, there's a lot of you require a lot of flexibility and thinking outside the box and thinking on your feet. And, you know, because we have that extra pressure and we can move and, you know, we tend to have characteristics. Our brain tends to work in ways that are conducive to those types of situations.
Mm-hmm.
So being a primary school teacher or like an emergency room doctor or paramedic or a firefighter, you know, those types of jobs, she said, can work out. And so for me, luckily, being a grade two teacher, it was wicked. Well, now grade two. I've taught junior high as well.
Oh, really?
That's for the ADHD.
You know, that's pretty cool, though, the fact that here you are as a teacher. I look at it as a positive that you have ADHD because you can relate to the kids who have ADHD. And it's not a situation where many teachers, principals, school board, whatever, they don't understand the real truth about ADHD, as I always say. And the fact that you know that you're living it, you can be of great assistance to the kids who have it. And that will only enhance the other kids too.
Exactly. And I think, and even with the depression, the anxiety, there are a lot of kids who are presenting with issues at school, or even, you know, sometimes they're just having a bad day, and it makes it a little easier to empathize. You know, you've been through hard things, and even for things that we don't have, you know, like students going through other issues, or, you know, things at home and are having a hard time or a bad day or whatever, you know, it allows you to put yourself in other people's shoes. You know what it's like to suffer and hear someone next to you. So it's, you know, it's nice in that way too. We have an idea of what it's like to feel like that. So we can, you know, we can be a person to sit with them and, you know, let them know it's okay to feel bad. I think that's one thing that kids find, and everybody really finds really tricky, is to know, like, you know, sometimes you do feel bad and that's okay.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it's not all roses. I mean, I'm sure there are some people, some other fellow teachers, I'm just guessing. Well, Sarah's coming. Look, they're all going crazy over Sarah. They don't go crazy over me. Boy, what's up with that? But once you get behind it, that, yeah, hey, Sarah can be depressed too, as we all can. You know, it's not all one thing. And especially with us ADHDers, we're pretty good at hiding things. And when it comes to wanting to be accepted, yeah, that's probably top of the list as well.
Definitely. I 1,000,000% relate with that. But another thing that works out for the ADHD too, is, I don't know about you, it's probably been the same, but people, I'm a short person. I'm about 5'1", you know, so I'm minuscule, and I teach at a primary school, and I've taught in junior high. So typically the students are about my size or larger. Like, there have been times where I've been put into a line by another teacher and told to follow. And I'm like, no, I'm one of you. Like, you know, wrong one. So, or they look into my classroom and I'm sitting at a table and they can't find where the teacher is. Like, it's funny. So I've often been told I'm childlike. And at first I was like, excuse me, like, call me childish, like, excuse me. But then they would say, you know, no, it's a compliment. You're childlike, like, you're enthusiastic. You get very excited about things. And I tend to, do you startle very easily by any chance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I relate with the childlike too. I mean, I fraternize with a lot of younger people, a lot younger than I am, because it's just my train of thought. I mean,
right?
Yeah, I'm looking at people my age and saying, they're looking kind of old there, and they're thinking kind of old. I don't know. We tend to think that way, I guess.
Oh, for sure. Like yesterday there was a celebration on one of the peninsulas nearby. There's a lot of French on the west coast of Newfoundland. So for Acadian Day, they had celebrations yesterday.
Yesterday was Acadian Day. A round of applause. And Acadian Day. Acadien. Moi. Le Blanc. Acadien.
Excellent, ami. So we went down yesterday, a friend of mine and her daughter, who's 2.5. And I've often had friends say, like, wow, like, it's so nice to have you around with the kid. Like, I got a little bit of a break. She didn't say this yesterday now. Yeah. But, like, yesterday when we were there, it was just so much fun to hang out with a 2.5-year-old. Like, we had a blast.
Yeah.
We had a balloon and, you know, playing with the balloon and finding different things to do. Kids get bored easy. Like, a 2.5-year-old, what's going to amuse her for 2 minutes is not going to for the third minute. So, you know, it's finding different things, different ways to have fun. I mean, I like fun.
I do too. And the funny thing is that with our kids, they're grown. But when they were younger, when they were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I thought I was cool. I mean, and then when they got about 8 or 9, I was like, he's acting kind of dopey. And he's like, they outgrew me.
Yeah. Well, I think now where I teach grade 2, some kids get my sense of humor, but some are just deadpan. They're like, seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. I mean, I have a grandson who's 6, and sometimes he'll question me. Are you kidding me? No. Whereas before, that's whatever. But that's, you know, just part of life. But we ADHDers, we think young, by Jove.
Full show.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. See, now another thing that you probably do, I'm sure. I just remembered you had asked me about the medication thing. So, yeah, I told you I do take 2 antidepressants for, you know, for some of the other issues. But I do also, I had that meltdown and I ended up off work from November to February just to, you know, regauge and relearn things. I had just gotten this new diagnosis and things hadn't been going so well. So I just had this time to, you know, take care of myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, focus on me and the things that make me feel good, and, you know, really focusing on the cognitive behavioral things. So the journaling and, you know, different practices for calming and soothing and focusing on things that make me feel good. And after the first month of that, I sat with my doctor again and we spoke about, you know, how I was feeling and everything. And then she introduced the idea of starting to take some medications for the ADHD. And so I did, it took like a couple different tries to find one that worked for me, but now I'm taking Ritalin and it is magic.
I mentioned somebody just now, I did an interview just before yours, and I said, yeah, Ritalin was kind of, well, you figure what it is, man. I was scrubbing the walls and I was doing all kinds of stuff, you know. And I got on some other things, and I kept on saying to my doctor, oh, what about that Ritalin? Well, you got to take it three times. That's okay. I'll take it three times a day.
Right?
But you got to be careful. We have to be careful, because sometimes we fall in that predicament where we can get a little addicted, a little addiction. Yeah. But yeah. No, if it's working and it's, you know, hey, go for it.
Yeah, definitely.
Get it legally, though.
Oh yeah, definitely get it through a doctor. But I know it doesn't. I notice it doesn't work for some people in the same ways. I think the way my biochemical system works is I respond to stimulants in the way that they calm me down.
Sure.
So
which is good. Okay.
I bleed coffee. Like, I'm sure if you were to cut me now, like, there'd be coffee just spilling out. You know, oh yeah. Like, I just finished one a few minutes ago. I'll probably make another one in a little while. Like,
that's the thing, though. There's no one medication that solves all of our problems. I mean, ADHD is just so broad. Even the fact that they implemented the D part, no, the H part into everything, as opposed to ADHD and ADD, it adds to the confusion, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh,
not to say that, oh, I'm not hyperactive. But yeah, it's so broad, people can't get their head around it, because, yeah, it's broad. There's no one person's alike. Yeah, there's similarity. But when you mention about your doctor saying, did you, what about your ADHD? And you say, what? I don't have it. I'd be curious to know if your doctor has ADHD, because I found out that once you know about it and you know how it acts, that we have ADHD radar, that we can pick it off in other people fairly quickly. Faster than the average bear. I was just kind of curious if your doctor had it. I don't know, but that's just my ADHD mind thinking.
No, it makes sense. We're always looking to make connections.
Yeah.
Very possible. But yeah, you mentioned about the hyperactivity part. That was one thing for my doctor when she said, you know, are you sure you don't have ADHD? And I was like, I'm not hyperactive.
That's the way I thought. Well, yep.
Yeah, your foot's been going the whole 10 minutes I've been in here talking to you. You haven't stopped. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just fidgety. But I was picturing the kids I'd had in my class who hyperactive in the sense that they were, you know, almost possessed by the Tasmanian
bouncing
devil.
Off the wall. Exact. It's the exact same perception I had until I got into the real truth about it. And then it was like, what? Holy cow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got that mountain to climb as far as getting people aware of the real truth, because we've been there too.
Yes, exactly. Like, I'm a fidgeter, and not to the sense that, like, in a school classroom, I would need to have like a fidgeting device, because I make my own. Like, I'm always picking up my fingernails or playing with my hair, or my most popular is, you know, friends would call me Thumper because my foot would always be tapping or my knee would always be going. As I'm talking to you right now, I've got this like reflective armband thing that I wear when I walk at nighttime. And I just found it next to me, and I've been playing with it for the entire time. And my foot, of course, is shaking right now.
Sarah, you've got to go back to our podcast to edition number 18, when we talked to the fidget man who created.
Whoa.
Yeah, he was on Shark Tank, and he was looking for more money about his fidget. He has a website. I think it's called Fidget Land. His name is James Burns. And yeah, he creates fidget, and like not the typical ones, but improved in any case. But yeah, he was a real interesting interview. I suggest you check that out. It's March 6th of 2018, number 18, Fidget Land. You'll get a kick out of it.
Like
you get a kick, I get it. You'll get a kick out of it. And a kick. Bada boom.
I think being a teacher too has helped with that, like getting information about ADHD for helping kids who have it. So I've kind of, I feel like I had all this background knowledge already.
What about your, your fellow teachers?
I've been aware of fidgets for a while, so that's really cool to like be able to use that stuff now, I guess.
What about your fellow teachers? Have they treated you any differently, or do they know? And what's the vibe you get?
My school is fantastic. The teachers around me, I'm very lucky. So as I mentioned, I was off work from November to February. And I was open, you know, I started slowly, but I was open with people about what had happened to me. I wouldn't really call myself totally extroverted, but I mean, I don't really keep secrets. It's kind of hard, isn't it? Like keeping things in, I end up.
It's tough.
Yeah, so I just end up telling everybody everything anyway. So slowly I ended up telling everyone my story and what had happened. And they were all just wonderful, you know? And when the Mental Health Day came up this year, the Bell Mobility Day, where they bring awareness to mental health issues, I did post on Facebook, you know, put all four of my diagnoses out there, like boss, not to brag, but, you know, to let everybody know. And just like, you know, and put the picture and said, you know, name them off and said, you know, sometimes you don't see what's underneath. And people are just wonderful, you know. I've been kind of worried that when people hear, you know, ADHD, they'd be like, are you sure? Like, I don't really see this in you. Are you sure that's you? And, you know, that didn't really happen.
Just be careful. I mean, not just hold back. We must get, and I'm free with mine because I'm at a point in my life that, you know, what the hell? And if I can do a good service. But sometimes I personally... Well, there were a few episodes where I went back to somebody and who mentioned about, you know, the way I might have acted or whatever. And then you go back almost like, I don't know, Alcoholics Anonymous. You know why I did that? Because I have ADHD. Isn't that great? And, you know, and they kind of, what? One person said, I should have known that. Yeah. That's the last time I spoke with that person. So you just, you know, temper it a little bit. It's you can get very excited, but I, at the drop of a hat, I would say, hi, I'm Russ. By the way, I've got ADHD and yeah, whatever, because you're so excited about it that, hey, there's a reason. That's part of it. And then you get to the, how am I going to handle it now? Where do I go from here?
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm kind of private in the way that I don't think I'd lead with that. If it comes up,
that's good.
Maybe I make it come up, you know, I'm not really super aware of what I do, but I definitely know that, you know, it's out there at work and my close friends know. And I guess, well, if anyone on Facebook has me, they know, but,
no, that's good. I mean, I'm not looking to damper that at all. It's just sometimes, you know, I know I went overboard, but you seem like the personality that it's natural and it's, you know, that's great. I, a matter of fact, how I found you was on our Twitter site. I mean, I didn't know you from a hole in the head, and all of a sudden I'm contacting you and whoa.
Now we're like best buds. We like go way back now. Sure, we're going to have you over for Christmas.
We'll have a mug up. We'll have a mug up, me son.
My lovey. Dibs dinner for you. You're going to love it.
Oh, I like that. Heavy on the cabbage.
Gotta add some salt beef for the dough too.
Yeah, that's right. And you get it in the bucket.
You do.
But watch the gas. Just don't hang around me a few hours later. It's not good. For those who are wondering, you know, we have listeners around the world. Yeah, it's a boiled dinner, Jigs dinner, Maggie and Jigs. Yeah, it's a corned beef and good corn stuff, beef. Cabbage and whatever. You know, it's, you name it. It's all in there. But
what you mentioned about like people's other reactions and like when someone had said like that reaction, I think in my personal life that does come up a bit too, because like I tend to be a bit emotional. Like you said, like the emotions can go all over the place. And so, yeah, I find now that the diagnosis has been out, if you blow up emotionally, it's hard to be taken seriously sometimes. Yeah. Because people are like, oh, well, you know, it's not such a big deal. It's just you're being emotional. So
just making drama.
And I find that,
Sarah,
that hard. Like, that's, you always have to be patient, I find, with yourself and with other people, because, you know, we know ourselves better. And, you know, you want to blow up at them and be like, there's a reason.
Sarah, one thing I've learned, and it's hard for me too. is that sometimes we have to do what's good for us. And yeah, we have to worry about how other people think of us. And I do that a lot. And that's part of it. I mean, sometimes we're seeking approval from other people, but why? So if they say, Sarah's a little, well, who cares? Unless it's really going to, you know, impact you negatively and maybe in your employment or something. But, you know, we are who we are. And sometimes we blow up, hopefully not a lot. And sometimes we do this and sometimes we do that. And sometimes that is like, hey, here comes Sarah. Let's all dance, which is good. We're human. And
I know people have that reaction, you know, more often when I come around. I like that.
Howie Mandel put it terrifically when he had mentioned about his ADHD. He said, I've learned to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
So, you know, it sounds a little tricky, but hey, we are who we are. ADHD, it's a part of us. We can't do anything about it. We just live with it and we deal with it. And if there's some negatives, there are some negatives. We'll do our best to be positive. But, you know, don't get hung up on the other people aspect of it. You know, it's, I don't know. I'm just trying to break it down. Is that why? And sometimes I look at myself and saying, why am I doing this? Am I doing this for me or am I doing this so other people will like me? Not because I want to be good. Is that they'll think nice of me.
You know what? I think that's one thing that's so common with so many people that, you know, even if there's not a said ADHD support for things, I think we can find creative supports for things like that, can't we?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's an issue so many people have problems with that we can come together to.
That's what Club ADHD is all about. And even in your area.
Right, like, there's some good.
Yeah, well, even in your area, you can start your own. I mean, online. If it's not there, start it, you know, be the catalyst. Sure. So anyway, I'm looking at the judges and I'm getting that feeling again and they know what I'm feeling. And the first judge is giving me a thumbs up. And the third judge, well, he fell asleep. I'm sorry. I'm going to do it anyway. A round of applause for Sarah.
Thank you. Number four.
I think it's really neat that you're coming forward and you're talking with us and the fact that you're a teacher and you're understanding the whole thing, and I know that you'll do well. And yeah, it'll be challenging, but hey, just keep with us here. And I'd like to have you back on the podcast too to see how things are going. I have some other questions. We're running out of time, but it's been very interesting, and I know that you've helped people just by telling your story.
Oh, thank you. Okay. This has been great. I would love to talk to you again. This has been so fun.
Sure. All right. Well, Sarah, you have a good day, and vive l'Acadie, and all that stuff, and thanks again.
Oh, merci. Have a great one now, everybody.
You know something? I think that worked out. Sarah was a great find on our Twitter account. There she was. Little did she know that I would come a-calling, and she came through with flying colors. Way to go, Sarah, and keep going. Keep moving on as you continue your life. And it will be enhanced by knowing that you have ADHD in a positive way. And I hope you feel that way about your ADHD. As I mentioned, Club ADHD, we're here as a way to meet together, to discuss things by way of our Facebook page and our Twitter account. And we're there to help each other. And sometimes if we don't help each other, no one else will, because they don't. A lot of people don't get it. They don't understand. And that's part of the problem. And that's part of the benefit of talking to fellow ADHDers, because we do understand each other. We can be relaxed with each other. We're not trying to pretend or putting on a mask and being people that we really aren't, but we feel we have to fake it at times. I hope you're enjoying the podcasts. I'm enjoying doing them. And if you could do me this favor, and I'm not looking at this from an ego sense or an aspect or, you know, a view. If you enjoy the podcast, please let me know. It inspires me to keep going. Not to say I'll stop, but it just gets my juices flowing, knowing that, hey, you enjoy it. Because I hope it's clear that I enjoy it. And I've been told that it comes across, and I'm pleased. That, you know, I've always been a broadcaster. It's one of the things that I've I've always been in life. And if I can combine the two things that I'm passionate about, broadcasting and ADHD awareness, we're ahead of the game, or I'm ahead of the game, and I hope that you feel the same way. Club ADHD, the podcast, the Twitter account, the Facebook page, all brought to you by the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, CADAC. Don't forget about their conference coming up in October. And just getting back to what I had previously mentioned, if you want to get a message to me, you can do it on the Twitter account or on the Facebook page, or you can email me. For a link, just visit clubadhd.ca, the webpage. It's not fancy. And yes, I don't know why I'm preventing from myself from uploading the new version, because it's just about done. You know, it's one of those things, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, or maybe something will happen and it won't work as well. No, let me just put it up there, okay? It's no great shakes. It's different, that's all. And the webpage we have now, it's pretty basic. It does the job, though, right? Tells you what it's all about, gives you the link. Russ, don't beat yourself up, please. And don't beat you up, too, right? You want to be your fan, not your critic. Sometimes that little voice can be pretty brutal when speaking to us, that little voice in us. Let's switch it around and make it positive, right? We have things to offer. Now, we've got another thing to offer, too, and less than a week, another version, another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. Yep, I've been falling behind the death in our families. In our family, I should say, got my mind reeling and things were left behind, as is normal when it comes to grieving. And I want to get caught up. And that's why we're providing this version of Club ADHD so quickly compared to the previous edition. And we will have another edition coming up, hopefully. I'm glad you can be with us, and we've got to wrap things up for this edition. But before I go, as is always the case, I want to please urge you to, whenever you can, say it loud, say it proud, say ADHD is real. This is your cordial ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, saying to you, bye for now.